It was a real eye-opener to many people, I hope. One line stood out to me. God is the potter, we are the clay. Rick said that, it's very true. He also said, the first fruits is baptism. And you can see by my title up there that I may be talking about that, at least part of the time. I was thinking about how I would express the feelings I had in deciding to be baptized. And it's something that was very deep, and it took, every time I think about it, it takes on another light, because it's so important. And I was praying about that, about what I would say, and a sentence came into my mind. And I thought, well, that's a strange sentence. But every time I think about it, it seems more appropriate. And that was, say, meet him in the water. Well, what's special about water? No, actually, there are a lot of things that are special about water. It's one of God's greatest creations. And I want to talk a little bit about that, too. But I'm going to go through a whole list of things. I'll give you all of my titles here very quickly, and then we'll get down to business. So, if I can get this to work. Yeah, maybe it's this one. Yeah. So I have a testimony. Basically, I'm going to give you a testimony that's related to my life and to the scripture. And it's it'll go beyond that. So I'll talk about water. And then I'll ask you to join me in a journey, because I want to do some things, and I have been trying to do some things in my life. Not a long list, but I hope that you have these same things in your mind. When I was baptized, I was meeting God in the water. I was meeting his son in the water. And I looked in the scripture and I found out that I was his brother, because I'll show you that in scripture as we go along. He was my brother. Well, if I had an earthly brother, I'd want to run with him, and I'd want to go fishing with him, and I'd want to teach him things. And so I would want to teach him the things that God taught me. And I would want to love him. I would want to love him like Christ loves me. And when I leave this body, go where he is. To go where he is. And I want to talk about each of those things. So, if you haven't taken this step in life's journey, then I ask you to also do what I did. Join Jesus in the water and be part of the family. So I didn't know him at one time, but when I found him, I found he was my brother. And here's a scripture that says that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. This is in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So I'm glad that included daughters in here, because so many places say that we are his sons. In fact, I took a little quick look through Strong's, and I found that there are 117 places in Scripture where it says, where it talks about the first son. Well, the first son for God was Jesus. And I was the first son in my body, in my family. So I thought that was an interesting bit of information, 117 times in Scripture. So being first son must be rather important, and being first daughter was that very important too. And being a son or daughter of God is wonderful, just wonderful. That we might receive the adoption of sons, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, I haven't been going around crying, Abba, Father, whatever that means, but I think it means that we praise God. And yes, I do praise God, and all of you do as well in various ways. But we are the children of God, just as Jesus was a child of God, but he was first. Well, what is it about water? Water is special. You call it H2O. And I have a picture here. I don't know if you can tell what it is. It's a place you may have been. That is the horseshoe portion of Niagara Falls. And that little tiny thing down there, just below the middle of the picture, that's the boat carrying about 50 people and taking the trip up onto the spray from the falls. It's a wonderful experience. How many have been to Niagara Falls here? A few? Okay. Four times. But water was a wonderful thing. Lots of it on the planet. And I said a special creation of God. We have fun on water. That's me water skiing. You know, probably can't see it very well, but it was fun. And a lot of other good things about water. Besides being a remarkable part of God's design, it has a formula like that, two hydrogens and an oxygen, but they are only linked together by one electron, which means there's an attraction from water molecule to water molecule, but that bond is not hard to break, which means that that one atom of hydrogen can leave water and go other places and do other things. And some wonderful things happen in nature and in our own bodies because of that. For one thing, when the plant with chlorophyll in it is exposed to the sun, an electron from hydrogen is taken away and goes through a series of cytochromes, which gives energy to the plant to produce the glucose that is the basic food to all animals and plants. Wonderful. If that were too strong of a bond, it wouldn't work. Can you imagine that? An electron is taken away from hydrogen. It goes through, I think, four or more cytochromes, giving energy to the leaf of the plant, and then it comes back to the hydrogen as if nothing had happened. Well, where'd the energy go? The energy came from somewhere. It came from sunlight. And this is what God planned, to have plants produce food for us, for animals. In our own bodies, the same thing happens, and it causes that glucose to be broken down and become the parts of things that we need, and to have an addition of carbon from carbon dioxide, so that we can have things like protein and fats and other things we need for food and building our body parts. So here it is. Water is involved in all of it, and it wouldn't happen if the water molecule wasn't made the way God made it. Then that thing about it being less dense when it's in solid form, most things that you can crystallize will make a crystal that's heavy, and water makes a crystal that's light. And because of that, it will rise to the top of a body of water, making it possible for fish to live in the water instead of suffocating because of the ice. All kinds of things could be said about water, all kinds of remarkable things. I say it's both dangerous and fun. Well, it would be dangerous for you to be in the water and unable to swim. You know, it's kind of dangerous if a flood comes up and destroys your house. And it's dangerous if you fall into the water and you have been knocked out or something because you take a breath and it'll be water, not air. So there are dangerous things about water, but it's God's great gift to the various things that live on his planet. Well, I don't want to labor that too much because I want to get to some other points. So I had this thought, you know, if he's my brother, I'll run with him. I'd like to run with him, you know. And I looked to see if Jesus did any running. And I found a pretty good example in John 4, 1 through 6. And it's just giving a little rundown of one trip that he took, on foot, of course, walking in his sandals upon the ground. And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. I don't know how big Samaria is, but it'd be quite a walk. Then cometh he to the city of Samantha, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Well, I think you know what comes after this, because when he sat at that well, he wasn't through doing God's work. Who knows what happened next? Nobody's raising their hand. But if you said that he met a woman at that well, you were right. And he talked with her. And because he talked with her, a whole bunch of people heard about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and they wanted to learn more, and he had to go and talk to them. So he was a busy man, and I don't think I would have been able to keep up with him that day, and I don't think you would have either, because that was quite a walk. But he didn't always get around by walking. Sometimes he got into a boat, and sometimes he just walked in the water. Well, I would take him with me fishing. Would you do that? Wouldn't it be great to go fishing with Jesus? If we had that opportunity, that would be great. And I have a scripture that relates to that in John 21, 3 to 7. This is an interesting scripture. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. And he had some disciples with him, and they said, we also go with thee. It wasn't a nice time. It wasn't a good time for them. Jesus had been crucified. They saw all those things that happened. They weren't sure what was going to happen next. They were a little discouraged, and it was like, hey, I'm going to just go fishing. I'm through with this for the time being. And that was the mood in which they went, which makes the story even better, because they went fishing. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. They went fishing all night and they didn't catch anything. Well, this is important to them because this was their livelihood. They were members of families that had boats, and their business was fishing and selling the fish in the market. And if you don't, if you go all night and don't catch any fish, you have nothing to go to market with. You're not making any money that day. It was a bad situation. But that's not where it was left, because Jesus stood on the shore. Disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Well, you see, they knew that he'd gone to a tomb. They didn't really understand what was going to happen. But he was there. They didn't recognize him right away. Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. I think it even says they had to patch the nets up after they did this. And they, in the meantime, in the next line, they figured out that it was Jesus. And they had all those fish. I've used this scripture in a sermon once for a memorial service for a friend who was a great fisherman, so much so that his nickname was Hooky. And I thought it was a very appropriate one to use in such a sermon because of what Jesus said. Now think about this. In your lifetime, you have cast your net on the wrong side of the boat before, haven't you? And you got nothing. And Jesus said, cast on the right side of the boat. And figuratively, this has a lot of meaning in my life. I hope in yours too, because Jesus was our source of being set right. If you're doing things and they don't turn out right, it may be because you cast your net on the wrong side of the boat. Because you did the wrong thing. You made the wrong decision. You didn't think about what God had for you before you cast that net. Because we all cast nets. They aren't always to catch fish, really. They aren't always nets as described here. There are many things that we cast out, we decide about, we get prepared for, we get educated for, and we do the thing that we think we're supposed to do, but we've made the wrong decision. And nothing comes of it that's good. That's because we didn't cast our net on the right side of the boat. We should take the advice of Jesus to heart every time. Always think what Jesus would do, how he would have us cast the net on the right side of the boat. I look at my life, and I have to say, sometimes I did it wrong, and sometimes I did it right. And I suffered many things from not doing it right, from not casting the net on the right side of the boat. Good advice anytime for anyone. To teach like he taught. I became a teacher. I taught music, I taught biology, I taught ecology, and I did it in many places. Sometimes, in some places, I was quite successful, but because of some whim of mine, I left that place and went somewhere else. I was never seemingly completely satisfied with where I was because I was working toward something that was in my mind, something that was in my past, in my growing up past, I wanted to achieve. And in trying to achieve that, I finally achieved it, but I went through many heartaches and many hardships. Many times I cast my net on the wrong side of the boat. In the first place that I taught, I was doing quite well. And I was about to get some of my wishes fulfilled, and I thought, there's a better place on the other up the line always. And I got another teaching job. Well, I was very successful there. I had a group of people who wanted to sing, and I got into a school where they didn't have a high school choir. And I was given a room full of kids who wanted to sing, and someone to play the piano because of the good work of the band teacher who was there before me. And we were very successful. And I had one boy who had already been chosen to be the president of the choir. He also was the son of the president of the school board. Well, there I was. I've got to do something with this kid. But he was a monotone. He could only sing one note. And so I asked him, his name was John, I asked John, can you stay after school and practice with me? And he did. And I played his note on the piano, and he recognized it, and he could sing that. I went one note higher. I said, can you sing this? And we worked on it, and he could sing that. And pretty soon, I had a little over an octave of notes he could sing, and he was a bass. And so I say, hey, this is working. And I picked out some other guys in the choir, and pretty soon I had a quartet. And they loved singing together. And that quartet went to the contest, and they got a first place. And they went to the state contest, and they got a first place. And I had one more year at that school before I thought there was more for me in another place. And I went, and it was a great disappointment. I went to a school where they didn't have a mixed choir, and I thought I'd do the same thing, and it didn't work. And they thought I wasn't a good teacher, and they didn't give me a contract for the next year. And then I was looking around. Then I did something right. I called on God. And Jesus taught me to use the right side of the boat when I cast my net, and what net to cast. And the answer to my prayers was, be cheerful. What? What kind of instruction is that? So I tried it. And when I walked into the school office the next day, I was cheerful. And the secretary said, hey, what happened to you? And before the week was over, a student came to me and said, I can get you a choir. Oh, really? He said, I'll bring you 30 kids if you will have practice after school. I said, well, I'll give it a try. And he brought me 30 kids and someone who played the piano. And we made a choir out of that. And I was there 2 years. I wasn't there 2 years. I only had one. But in that year, we made a choir that went to the contest and got second place. And I also had a boys' choir, which I formed from sixth grade boys. And they did the same thing. I asked the contest, what can I do with a boys' choir? They sing soprano, alto, first and second soprano and alto. And the directors said, well, all we've got is girls' glee clubs that can sing that. But he said, we'll include them. So I asked the boys about that, and they said, oh, we can beat those girls. And they did well. And so the superintendent called me, and he said, what are you trying to do to me? I had been fired for the next year. And here I was doing things. Well, I made a call to a friend in Independence. And I said, send me some school boys, so the names of some school superintendents in the area, and he did. And one was the superintendent in Peculiar, Missouri. And he said, I had, of course, the ability to teach biology and music. And this superintendent was looking for someone who could teach general science, biology, and music. And he hired me on the spot. I had thrown that net on the right side of the boat, because it got me here. And because I was in Peculiar, I was going to church here. I was taking my family that was beginning to form here. And I was using my calling as an elder here. And it's where God wanted me to be. I had cast a net on the right side of the boat. And I got to teach biology, which was my major. My minor was music. But that's a testimony I have for people who are not sure where to cast their net. go to God. And you may have trouble believing your answer, but he'll give you the right answer every time. Luke 20, verse 32-25. I don't think I have all of it here. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or no? This was the question that was thrown at Jesus by some Sadducees. I'm wondering now, how is Jesus teaching these people? What kind of teacher is Jesus? And you can see the answer right here. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? They thought they put him in a bad place, because the people didn't want to give tribute to Caesar. That was the occupying government. They didn't want to support that. What's Jesus going to say? He perceived their craftiness and said unto them, "Why tempt me? Show me a penny. Whose name is the superscription on that it hath it? They answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God's." And we teach that today, don't we? We teach that in our preaching and in our Sunday school. It was the right thing. Jesus told them what the right thing was very quickly. That's the kind of teaching he did. You may be familiar with the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I'd like to have a volunteer to read Matthew 25, 14, 30. Can I have a volunteer? There is a microphone up here. Okay, I got a hand up right out there. The parable of the talents, this is a wonderful teaching. One's got a book and one's got a telephone. Let's see. Here we go.
All right. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. I think that was a great bit of teaching. And I've learned from that myself. I've always taken that. The talents to be anything of worth that God has given to us. Everybody has received talents from God. And we haven't always used our talents right. The one who hid his talent said something very important along with his statement. He said, I had fear. He was afraid. Never be afraid to use the talent God has given you. You're not going to accomplish anything for God that way. Take what he has given you and use it right. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. And you will be rewarded accordingly. And I think that says a lot following up on what we heard this morning. That we take what God has given us and use it right in our lives. And not be afraid. Fear is never going to accomplish anything good for you. I could cite times in my life when out of fear I accomplished nothing good. It's when I was willing to take the responsibility and accept the things which are put before me and use the talents I have to accomplish something for God. It's a thing you will learn over and over again, even as I have in life. Love as he loves. Our Savior still loves us. We don't see him, but he's there for us. And he has given into this world all the things that are necessary for us, including our talents that he has given us. And so we should keep in mind the sacrifice that he made. We were given a lot of information about that this morning, and he has paved the way for us. 1 John 4:17, 20, I have these words. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and he hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? We love God by using our talent in the way that he has intended for us to use it. And we love God by loving our brother and our neighbor and everyone who's put before us. I have to say that there have been people that I've met that I'd rather have some distance between me and them. But I know that God teaches I need to love that person too. And I have met some people who did dirty things to me, but I've been told that I have to love that person too. And if I can love that way, I'm loving the way he loves me. And that's what I'm seeking. I hope you're seeking that too. But if we give way, if we let other things get in the way and we fear loving people who do not love us, we're making a mistake. Because it always pays off in the right way to have love. It works best for you, anyhow. And I've found that in my life too, that we just about have no choice. And I put this up here. I think that's something everybody thinks of one time or another, and it's important to me. And to be in that frame of mind We have to believe that he is, and that he made the sacrifice he said he would make. And thinking about those things, I came to what started this whole testimony I'm giving you, is that I want to be where he is now. And so I have to know something about that, don't I? The scripture in Revelation 22, 16 through 17 is about the last statement on this. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever that will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, that's the water. I was talking about how wonderful water is and how God created it for purposes that help us day by day. And this water is God's water too, the water of life. We have a tree of life that was shown to us by Lehi in the Book of Mormon. And it has a very good fruit, and people are anxious to get to that fruit. Other people are trying to distract us and not let us get to that fruit. And we have those distractions, and we should remember that they're just distractions and not let them lead us away, because we have one goal, and that is to be where he is and to do the things that he has shown us that lead to that. And as we go through life, we have to keep that in mind, because through fear and through distraction and through trying to please people who really aren't our friends, we can be thrown off the track and we could be heading in the wrong direction. We can cast our net on the wrong side of the boat and catch no fish and catch no good thing at all. So I hope that you will all keep that in mind. And remember, there is that one line that was given to me in a dream. Join him in the water. Join him in the water. My advice to you. I know this is a short statement, but it's afternoon, and you've had a full meal, and I wanted you to have a short statement. But remember that, meet him in the water. The water God has given, invented, made, and put before us, it leads to eternal life. Thank you.
You're good.